Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America! I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper, chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter. And you're about to experience the wild game domain from the hunt to the hearth, airing live on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. And today, I'm joined by nobody. Chris Gesualdi couldn't make it. Jesse Riley couldn't make it. So you stuck with me for a half hour. I'm going to try to make this interesting, and I think it is. At least it interests me, and it should interest hunters for sure, or anybody interested in the food chain. I want to talk about the idea, or try to justify the idea, of humans as predators. I think we're kind of evolving. Well, we're obviously evolving. But I think we're kind of losing our stake atop the food chain. I think we've decided, you know, we could let other people market, produce, market, and sell us food, and I don't really have to get out there and get my own food. And, you know, I'm not a scientist, obviously, but I want to know where that's, I'm curious to see where that leads us. I'm doing my part. I'm trying to continue to go out and get my own food. And this idea that I hear from people all the time that it's not getting your own food is not an undertaking that we really need to worry ourselves about. And I would argue that that's absolutely what we need to worry ourselves about. So just the actual act of going out and hunting, foraging, whatever you want to do, growing your own crops, all these things kind of fall into a sustainable lifestyle that that the show tries to promote, that I try to promote. But the thing is, as I think humans, really, I guess all around the world, we pay close attention to large predators, right? They're dangerous. Ooh, predators are dangerous. I mean, there's no predator on the face of the earth more dangerous than a human being. I mean, that's fact, right? Don't talk to me about the great white shark. More, you know, we kill more great whites than they kill humans. So, you know, we're the most dangerous predator on the face of the earth. War, murder, crime, stupidity, all these things. We're the largest, most dangerous predator on the face of the earth. And I think we pay close attention to these large predators. Not just humans, obviously, but bears, anything, great white sharks, any predator, because we've evolved as their prey, right? We came and we've evolved to fear them, knowing they could eat us, they could kill us. It was our fate to be killed and eaten. Early man, their primary goal was what? To escape this fate, fate. They wanted to stay alive. And our instincts are still shaped by that, this thought that a predator could come along and take us out at any moment. I think it horrifies us. And that's why you see, how many people do you think in the last couple hours, the morning rush today, died in car crashes, train accidents, everything else? Everyone's trying to get to work, right? Probably hundreds, I would imagine, somewhere in there. I don't have any facts. But no one cares. Did you see anything on the news? No. But if someone got attacked by a grizzly bear this morning, it would be all over Fox News. It would be all over Channel 2, right? Oh my God, guy got attacked by a grizzly bear. It's kind of it's the things that make our nightmares. That's why, you look at the ancient ancestors, we find their bones laying around, right? It's always big news. And there's always bite marks. There was always some kind of suffering at the hands of a predator at one point. And this still shapes us today. So that's the pattern and timing we have. You know, that's where we are right now. We try to adapt, justify, try to act like we're not part of this or we're not predators, but in a way we are. We're always trying to protect ourselves. You know, we have a fondness, at least most of us have a fondness for meat. We need meat in our diet. And so, you know, that makes, you know, man the hunter. We want to become the hunter so we can provide meat for ourselves. And this is how basically, you know, not to compare myself to a Neanderthal, but this is how the Neanderthal lived his life. His existence was keep alive, don't let the predators eat me, and try to get them, become the superior predator so I could go out and feed my family or feed myself and stay alive. You know, when we look at herbivores, they form, readily form dwarf species under a lot of conditions. You know, think of the animals of the rainforest, the desert, or, you know, oceanic islands, some isolated island somewhere where they're actually predator-free. They don't have a lot of predators, and they form these dwarf species. They rapidly progress into new subspecies as they disperse, you know, around the world into new habitats. But guess what? Look at the predators on the face of the earth. Have you seen a dwarf predator? Very little of that. You know, the predators, no matter where they are, do they form these dwarf species? It's because of the evolution of what they need to accomplish. And they don't, you know, segregate themselves. They put themselves into the mix of the animals because they are the superior predator, or they want to be the predator. And this is what's going to allow them to stay alive. You know, look at our teeth, how we say humans, how our teeth have evolved. We grow these small canine teeth, right? Other animals, think of an ape, you know, a large... They grow large combat canines where they're actually an offensive tool. You know, we're starting to lose that a little bit. Our canine teeth are very small. And, you know, the reason being is I think we're becoming soft. You know, over the years, we're becoming soft. Obviously, apes need to protect themselves. They need to go out. Now, we've evolved and we've done other things to protect ourselves. We use modern weapons. We sleep in homes with security systems. We have a lot of these luxuries created by man that I think are helping us evolve as less predatory towards other creatures on the face of the earth. The ancient herbivore, you know, they would go out and eat plants and forage for their food. And we still do that in some ways, you know, that's still with us, this idea that we need to eat, vegetables and things that grow on the earth aside from the meat and everything else we do. You know, so you look at it, right? If you get a piece of meat by whatever means, for me, it's going to be hunting. I'm very excited. You know, we're talking beginning of September, football starting. October 1st is opening day, New York State bow hunting, getting the property ready. I'm very excited to put some actual venison on the table again. I'm out. I didn't even, usually for Labor Day weekend, I have enough ground venison to make some burgers and grill. I didn't even have that this year because of the hurricane, cut into my hunting season. But, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this and, you know, our preferences for meat, right? When we prepare meat, when we eat meat, we flavor it liberally with basically, what do we want to call them? Plant poisons, right? Peppers, chili, maybe sage, curry, et cetera, et cetera. So apparently meat really doesn't appeal to us or taste good until we rub plants all over it, right? We got to rub plants all over it. So in a way, We also have this herbivore's craving for salt, right? Salt from the earth. So, you know, just keep that in mind. We're part of this. We're evolving, and you know, to say I like to eat meat, yeah, but I still have that herbivore thing in me that says, wow, herbs taste good. You know, I want to flavor that sizzling steak on the grill with these herbs. And as we evolve as hunters, for me, you know, I feel like we're not evolving fast enough as predators. We're kind of losing the predatory idea of going out and hunting. But so I'm worried about the sport of hunting. We have a special, for me, it's a special relationship. I shouldn't talk for everyone, with large predators. Again, because of that, I think that that fear that's built into us over the years, we fear these animals. You know, we have a special relationship with these large predators because of all the primates that we associate with, you know, and the primates, where really we're the only one that evolved past living in a tree. Some guy, sorry to giggle, some guy was going to bang on the window and wave to me like I'm someone famous, but maybe I'm becoming famous, Jack. They always got to sit someone right here.
That's because of your show.
Maybe we should invite him in.
Yeah, next time maybe we'll get a man on the street take on this.
Yeah, if he gets meat on that pizza he orders, I'm going to call him in here and ask him about it. I want to know. So, you know, we evolved from this idea that we had to, you know, the apes live in trees. Why do they live in trees? Well, to protect themselves. If on the ground, they're a target. They're an easy target for tigers, whatever their natural predators. So, you know, we've evolved past this. They live in the trees to escape predation, right? We humans alone can face predators on the ground, day or night, any time of the day, right? And we've done so forever, thousands of years now. We've as humans, we've adapted, and we've made ourselves, we've put ourselves in a position where we don't have to worry about being the victim of these larger predators. And that's with people living in the woods, living off the land, the great explorers who crossed this country. And, you know, despite going to bed in the middle of the woods, in the middle of the night, in the most dangerous areas of this country, right? Despite, you know, my hunting partners, and he's going to listen to this and get all bent out of shape, his snoring. You know, he could lay in the middle of the woods and snore and attract animals to him from all over the woods, and he still survived. Crying babies, all these things that humans, all these, I don't know if you want to call them weaknesses, right? We've managed to survive on the ground as the superior predator. You know, and without being able to survive large predators on the ground, we would never have tapped into the huge, you know, protein masses that we attained through this evolution, right? This biomass of protein that just helped us evolve quicker and further. If not, we'd still be picking leaves off the top of the tree. And there would never be a me. There never would have been a me that, sitting here in Brooklyn talking about hunting. There wouldn't have been, you know, the hunter. It all evolved. And the truth of the matter is we, humans, are great killers. We're great, great killers. But, you know, we don't kill like predators with, how do predators kill? With their teeth or with their claws, right? We kill with tools. We kill with tools. Now, I know there's some guy running around Brooklyn right now. He could snap my neck with his hands and all that, but that's not what we do. How do we fight wars? How do two bears fight in the woods? They fight with their claws and their teeth. How do two humans fight? We shoot it out. We use a knife. We use modern, specialized tools, weapons, if you will. And that, obviously, is unique. No other animal does that. And with these weapons in hand, I think that makes us brave, right? That makes us daring. It makes us dangerous. And without it, we may not be so brave, daring, and dangerous. Think of the infantryman. I was a soldier. People say, wow, you were a soldier. Wow, I'm not messing with you. Why? I'm not holding my sniper rifle in my hand. It's that modern technology, those weapons that give us the bravery to face these predators. And that's part of the evolution that we took part in. I want to talk about this a little further, the whole idea of the evolution and the use of tools and weapons in the second part of the show. But let's take a short break right here, and we're going to be right back with the Wild Game Domain on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Today's break song is by The Hollows. The song is called Mad as Dogs, and this is Heritage Radio Network.
Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surifarms.com.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Chad Pagano. I'm your host, and you're listening to the Wild Game Domain on the Heritage Radio Network. So we got into this idea. I just started talking about the idea of tools. That's the liberal way of saying weapons in this conversation. We're talking about modern weapons, and we evolved and we use these weapons. And like I said, this is unique, obviously. You don't see, I know Planet of the Apes, great movie, but you don't see monkeys or apes running around with AR-15s. So this is very unique to the human. And so this mental and emotional psyche, I guess, that we gain from this is very important in how we evolved as predators. With weapon in hand, again, we are brave, daring, and dangerous. Without it, not so much. Most people. And guess what? The other predators sense that. If we are, how do you want to say it, united, if we band together with others in bravery, we can become frightening, right? An army is frightening, especially since we can do something no other primate can do. And I was thinking about this, too. I was trying to, I was jotting down a list of things that separate us. What makes us the superior predator still? And you know what it is? Part of it? Think about this. We can mimic sounds. I know, it sounds silly, right? What does that matter? But we could adjust these sounds to the occasion. I could sit here right now and I could roar, or I could growl, I could scream, and match voices to the occasion. Maybe even match the predator that I'm confronting. No other animal could do that, right? A bear can't do that. A bear can't go up and say, I'm going to kick your ass. Right, like we're on the streets of Brooklyn. If there was a bear running through Brooklyn, he would be the inferior predator in Brooklyn. Right, tough neighborhood, tough guys running around. Right, because he can't mimic us. He can't participate in the way we've evolved. And mimicking sound is the biological root of language and music. It's why our language has evolved further. It's why our ability to communicate with each other. And, the bottom line is by this, we are able to go into different environments and adapt where no other predator can. Obviously, to make the example, a polar bear. I mean, obviously there's physical needs the bear has, but he cannot exist in Brooklyn. I could exist in the Arctic, I could exist in the woods as a human being. These animals can't exist here. So it makes us, it helps us be the superior predator. But within that, large predators are, I guess, basically hypochondriacs in a way. And they need to be. We can't afford, they can't afford, predators in general can't afford being wounded or being hurt. If you're wounded or hurt, right, it decreases your efficiency as a in hunting or in searching out that other predator that you're going to battle. It may also trigger an attack, right? If you're wounded or hurt, so we're hypochondriac. You're swimming in the ocean. You have a cut. The blood. What does it do? It attracts the sharks. This could trigger weakness. These wounds could attract or attack, attract an attack by a pack of other predators. And obviously in certain cases, wolves, bears, things like that, you know, now they're going to have a feast. And it's true of humans, you know, think of the criminal element that we have in society. Do they feast on the strong? You know, do they go after? No, they go after the wounded. They go after the small guy, the guy alone in the middle of the night on the subway who has no defense mechanism, right? That's who they go after. They ever go after the group of guys, 25-year-old guys on the train all together, 10 guys? Do they get mugged, robbed, feasted upon? Never, right? This is all part of evolution. Now, I'm not justifying that, the criminal aspect of it, but in their mind, we go after the weaker enemy, the weaker animal enemy. You know, this whole thing is tied together. We try to avoid the thorns, you know, when we're out there. And this basically is the secret to survival. You know, you have to be the strongest, the fittest, survival of the fittest, right? And it helps to reinforce this when you're out in the woods surviving, you know, with a growl or with a yell, a sharp jab with a stick, using a tool. That's what keeps us alive in the woods. A bear, the most fierce bear, you know, say a grizzly bear in Alaska, brown bear in Alaska, confronts you. You know what they say to do? Stand your ground, raise your hands above your head, and calmly speak to the bear and tell it to go away. And truth of the matter is, with a grizzly bear, and I don't have exact numbers, that would probably work 60, 70% of the time. It will work 100% of the time with a black bear in the Catskill Mountains. You come across a bear, stand your ground, do not run, that shows weakness, and say, "Bear, get out of here, this is my territory," and the bear will walk away from you. All these things are what makes us the hunter. During the day, we need firm discipline when we're hunting, right? We hunt during the day. And so we rely on this ability to see during the day, where a lot of these animals in the woods have the incredible ability to see in the dark at night. They amplify the light from the moon, the stars, right? We don't have this ability. So we evolved. We have to exist sometimes at night in the woods, right? And what does your human instinct tell you to do? Run. Run when you're scared, right? Run. Well, that's almost suicidal in most cases out in the woods if you are coming in contact with some kind of predator. It shows weakness, and they sense that too. Someone's running. That must be a weaker animal. When you walk through the woods, strong, proud, nothing is going to mess with you. There's nothing on this face of the earth that will outright ambush you in the middle of the night. The bottom line is we've learned that we can't outrun predators. So we kind of fake a supreme fearlessness when we're in the woods, especially the hunter, you know, the man, the hunter. We're carrying home our prey at the end of the day. I got a deer, and I'm dragging through the dark woods, you know, blood dripping everywhere. This is going to attract other predators, but by doing it, you know, in the open, we'll say, you know, not slinking, not trying to hide, not running with this deer on my back, trying to get out of the woods. Generally, the other predators respect that. They understand this as strength, and we will continue to be the superior predator. There would have been no hunter, man the hunter, without an ability to successfully defend and prey. Defend ourselves and prey on other animals, obviously, right? That's the game plan. The goal, bring home food at the end of the day. And now, you know, enter the idea of our brain, you know, this idea that we could think and have a strategy, planning. And what do we base that on? We base it on, you know, foresight, shared experiences, right? I talked to my buddy, hey, the last time I was hunting, I moved my foot and a deer saw me and ran away. So don't move your foot. Other animals don't do this. They don't have shared experiences where they could communicate to each other. Never mind, you know, the size of our brain allows us to be have an imagination. And by having this imagination, that's going to lead to technology, advances in technology. And you must, you know, as a hunter, we use our experience. The experience we've gained through the years, that first-year hunter is never going to have the success as a predator until he gains that experience and puts all these things together. You know, and once he does that, that's these gained experiences over the years make you a better predator. We learn to avoid certain things. We learn to avoid times during the day or areas, spaces where predators live, right? We learn that. We know, hey, I shouldn't go into this area. There's a lot of predators. That will be dangerous. And we do this when we know they can't be easily defeated, right? But then when we're hunting, what do? We take that concept and we turn it on its tail and we say, ooh, now's the time to go into that area where I know all the predators are because I have a 30-yard six with a 3x9 red field scope and I'm set up and I'm camouflaged. So we go in there tactically. And we've evolved to be able to do this. No other animal has done that. You know, the... We exploit opportunities to hunt certain prey, to chase away or hunt other predators, bears. And we actually instill in them a fear of humans, right? Bears are weary of humans. They see black bears in the Catskills don't want to associate with you for the most part. They will run away because they're hunted. Black bears in New Jersey will knock on your door and rip through your garbage because we don't hunt them there, right, in those areas. So, you know, the bears I've seen in the Catskills don't want to see you. They run away in the woods. So, you know, they are learning. They are taking their place in this chain of perdition, I guess we'll call it, this chain of perdition. They're taking their place and saying, no, the humans are dangerous. Stay away from the humans. Along with all this, we have a great responsibility as hunters to use this responsibly, right? And we do that by following the law, you know, respecting the system by which we hunt under, tag system. I could go out and probably, if I really wanted to make it my business, go out and kill multiple bears in 1 year, but I only have one bear tag. And why do we do this? Because along with that evolution, we've evolved into knowing that these are great creatures on the face of the earth, and we got to have great respect for them. The gray wolf, the wolverine, you know, all of these predators that coexist with us, especially hunters, coexist with me in the field, right? These animals have to be respected, and we have to follow the rules set upon us, basically by ourselves. The hunters have set this on within a system of ethics that we follow, and we live alongside these other predators, knowing we're the superior one, knowing that we could eliminate all of these animals from the face of the earth if we wanted to. I wish sometimes maybe we'd apply this, you know, to other humans, but we don't with wars and other violent undertakings. But as a hunter, I have a lot of respect for these predators that live live with me in the woods itself. So, you know, this idea that hunting shouldn't exist is just crazy to me. I mean, it is our place on the face of this earth through evolution that we should go out and hunt. The idea that we're going to use a weapon, a modern piece of technology, to take down an animal, whether it's predator, herbivore, as long as we're eating that animal, that is our place as hunters in the evolutionary chain, as far as I'm concerned. And that's where we are, and I hope we never lose that. Well, wow. There was your lecture for today, America. Hope you heard it. I didn't have a guest, Jack, so I had to go on and on.
I was a guest. I was just silent.
Jack, thank you for being with us today, Jack, as a silent guest. And the guy eating the ribs out here, too, was my guest through the glass. But unfortunately, that's all the time we have. And I'd like to thank Jack for producing and engineering today's show. You could always find the archived episodes of The Wild Game Domain from The Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes as a podcast. Thank you, America.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.